I want to say something because Brandon is dancing behind the glass there. You move really well, young man.
This is a great song.
It is a great song. Joe Giuliano did this song about 40 years ago or something like that. But
we finally paid him for it, so we got it back.
We did. We must have. Yeah, Strewman here, the Four Outdoorsman. Welcome, everybody. Hi, sweetheart. I'm glad you're listening tonight. Hope you're having a good time.
I'm right here.
No, you're not right there. That's I'm talking about my wife. That was Sam there. Mark's here, and Brandon's here, the Four Outdoorsman, every Sunday night on Bob Total Country. A lot of things to talk about. Deer hunting's on its way, right? And
Unique New York.
Unique New York. Rubber unique. Baby buggy bumper. Bumper.
Ow now, brown
we were doing,
cow.
What would you call that, verbal exercises before the show?
So. Yeah, I think so.
The tip of the tongue and the teeth and the lips.
Ooh! The tip of the tongue and the teeth and the lips. I said teeth.
What else are you going to learn on the Four Outdoorsmen? Or you could say this stuff outside if you wanted to, right?
Yeah, you could.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what. It's been a big week, busy week. I've gone deer hunting twice.
What?
I went bow hunting twice, only for a couple of hours in North Branch. But it was fun to sit in the woods. I saw four deer yesterday morning.
Nice.
A buck and three does. Didn't have a shot. They're probably a little over 50 yards away, but I did have a crossbow, but they were trotting. You know, so I'm not... You know, I took about four shots with the crossbow. I said, okay, I'm ready to go.
So you're being very ethical.
I think so. Well, I was too cheap. I didn't want to lose a $20 arrow. That's what that was all about.
I should have went with that.
Yeah, you should have gone
Talk about your crossbow story. How did Strew, last time you bow hunted was with a recurve in the 70s.
Yeah, I got a deer with
my first
shot.
And all of a sudden you're a
crossbow shooter. You were 45.
I was 45, yeah.
So
yeah,
what's the rule, 60 and up? You can use a crossbow?
I took my young friend, Sid Hartman. And,
Too soon.
Too soon. No, it's not too soon. No, I'll tell you, Mark and I have a second cousin who has 10 acres up in Finlayson, if you want to call it that. And he's thinking about selling the property and been in touch with him back and forth. I was at his house a couple nights ago and told him I was going to go bow hunting. And unfortunately... fortunately, Steve is kind of partially paralyzed, not doing real well, unfortunately. And
can you say what happened?
Is it
a safety measure?
I guess the whole world should know this. We have an outdoor show. It can happen to anybody. They've had this 10 acres for about 25 years. And about 9 years ago, they were building new tree stands. And I don't know the whole story, but he was in a tree stand. I think he was reinforcing it, kind of doing the finishing touch. And somebody, who I believe, was cutting lanes, you know, and one of the trees came down and took Steve out of the tree and paralyzed him. And so it can happen to anybody. He's been hunting up there many, 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 many years. So anyway, they're selling the property and they're done hunting. And I was at their house a couple of days ago and he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm right back. And his wife went down the stairs and came up with a crossbow because he's not going to use it anymore. They're selling the property. He's done. They've hunted enough. And he showed me how to use it. And I took it out to my son Mike's property and shot a few times. Hell, it's like a rifle.
They are amazing tools.
Easy. I mean,
oh, yeah.
And he's got the 10, 20, 30, 40, and I think he's got 60. I don't think there's a 50 in there. And
was it an actual scope or was it like a bow sight?
No, it's a scope. It's a scope.
It's a scope with a BDC. Like it has like different lines so you raise it up.
Yeah.
The Raven
raise it up.
Josh Groban plug. Anyway, so they have the Raven crossbows, which is like the latest and greatest. They're accurate to 100 yards, and they actually have like this dial on the side that you can click it up to shoot 100 yards.
I think I did shoot 40 yards a couple of times, and I did find it within 5 inches or so, which
is
good. Yeah,
it's a way easier than a vertical bow.
Oh man, and I think every time I shot, I would hit something, but it's not that heavy. It's not hard to load the arrow. It's very, very simple. I don't know what the draw actually would be. The recurve I had was only like 35 pounds, and I just found out from Buona Archery that you can hunt with 30 pounds,
yep.
And that doesn't seem like much.
Yep.
And this thing, so I let my son Mike shoot it a couple of times from 50 yards, and he was really, really accurate. But to hear this thing fly by. You know, I was halfway between Mike and the target. To hear it fly by, it's pretty interesting. But it was neat. So I haven't had a chance to shoot at something, but I think I will.
You're standing in between Mike and the target?
Yeah, he was shooting an apple off my head. Yeah, no. I wasn't
higher! Higher!
But, so
they say the average is 125 pounds.
To pull those things, that's crazy. You couldn't pull that with your arms.
Yeah, did you have a crank?
No, well, it's a... it's got two little things, and you put them on there and pull them out.
Put your foot in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I bought my dad a crossbow for his birthday, and his actually has like the hooks on it, and you crank it up.
Ooh,
yeah.
Like
this
medieval,
has the hooks.
You're storming a castle, like
yeah.
Tick 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 tick.
Yeah, so I think it's legal, so I loaded it as I'm walking in the
That's
woods.
That's a good statement. Yeah, I think it's legal.
I think it's legal. Well, can you load? You can walk from your truck with that thing cocked, right? You don't want to walk in the woods and cock it in case you see something on the way. So right. I think that's legal. I didn't shoot anything, though, but it's amazing. And so I'm looking forward to hunting maybe your property and even maybe my second cousin Steve Wanner's and Tina's property up in Finlayson, or maybe my son. I'm looking forward
to... you can use a gun here pretty soon.
Well, I know, but I
We're
may
going
well,
to.
I know that. I
we
know
got
that.
The dates blocked off, boys.
I'm excited, man.
The four outdoorsmen are hitting the woods.
Yes. Every year, we usually have like a deer opener special. I guess we didn't think about that.
Well,
this time.
We were talking about a little bit about it, but I wanted to say we should have deer stories next Sunday anyway.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Nothing but deer stories next Sunday.
All deer all the
all
time.
All deer.
And you promised me 2 months ago you would look for Brian Zepp's interview with the guy from Texas.
I told you I couldn't get that. That was like 7 years and 3 stations ago.
I know, but you can do everything.
I cannot.
Oh, that's too bad.
You can find it.
That's too bad.
Yeah, let's have all deer week next
stories
week.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it's all about,
and our shout outs will be all deer. Maybe
are you gonna be here since it's your anniversary?
I will.
Should we talk
nothing today? Comes between me and this show, boys. Nothing.
I thought I was babysitting for you.
I think my sister is, but I'll let you know.
Is she cute?
My sister. She's a beautiful woman.
Oh,
that's right. I love that answer.
All deer. Well, good. I'm off the hook. I told him I'd give him he and his wife a night at a hotel.
Well, I haven't secured that yet. I do have a night in a hotel. We're going down to Red Wing, my wife and I.
You can hike the bluff.
Our 12th anniversary. So we're going out Friday night. Hopefully find someone to watch the kids, and I'll be back Saturday.
Erica can take you hiking the bluff.
I don't really want to hike a bluff. I saw your video.
Yeah, I saw it too. I am so glad I was sick.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, and I mean this sincerely. I went with Brian Clawwetter, BK, my buddy, and our buddy. We all have met him, and he's been down there a couple of times, and he's about my age, maybe a little bit younger.
You were going to say size.
And there's no, he's bigger than I am, and he's everyone's bigger than I am. You know, Pee Wee Herman's bigger than I am. But anyway, there's 3 ways to get up this bluff, and it's about 400 feet, give or take, to get up to the top. And the easy way is around. It's about 45 minutes to get there. Then there's another way that's more difficult. And Brian, and there's an unregulated climb that we did call. He calls it the Goat Trail. And he said, do you want to try it? I said, I'm in pretty good shape. I'm in if you're in. And you want to go first or second? I looked at the steepness of this. I'm guessing it was about 30 degrees. And that's not an exaggeration. It's like this, and I'm showing people with my hand in studio here. And it's about 250 feet to the area where we had to get. And I said, you go first because, you know, if you fall, maybe I can try to – there's no way I could have stopped him. If you fall from where we were, you slip at all, you are rolling to the bottom, and there's rocks and things. And I thought about a third of the way up there, 25% of the way up there, this is not a good idea. And I was concerned for Brian because he's got bad knees and bad hips, and he's puffing like he's 90. He's got a big old shepherd stick with him, which didn't help at all in that part of the climb. But there's really it's dangerous. And even I, as a guy who's in pretty good shape, I wouldn't do it again. So Brian, thanks a lot. It was a good experience, but like marriage, once is enough, you know. And but it was you saw the video. If you look at the video again, you can see it on our Facebook page, I suppose, and all that. But you can see the cars instead of looking at me at one point. You can see the road beneath down into Red Wing.
I thought maybe he tilted his phone.
Not
and
at all.
Really on flat land.
Yeah, that's funny.
I did that. In,
that's funny.
Wyoming.
I saw that. Yeah.
But we had a great time, and it was a great experience. I'd been to Red Wing 1,000 times, and I see the bluff every time, and I didn't even know people could climb that. But
it is so pretty down there.
It really is beautiful.
It's really, really.
But it was a lot of work.
A couple weddings.
A lot of work.
There.
But that was fun. Yeah. So it was a good deal.
Hey, it's live radio. I'm going to throw this out there. Yeah. Should we do a big buck contest for the listeners and give away some swag?
Yes.
What are the rules, sir? And do you have the swag?
Do we have the swag?
Do we trust them? But by the way, I need another hoodie. You got that? Okay.
I'll get that. Yeah. So. First of all, I want to apologize to the listeners that we haven't got it on the website. I think we're going to put it on our Facebook here in the next week or two. I know you guys are all dying to have some Four Outdoors and swag. But Brandon always reps it. Not tonight, but he's repping the station. There it is.
He's got the shirt underneath
Superman. Attaboy. So let's do something like you got to post a picture of either, let's say, a bigger buck or...
I really like it when you guys tell me ahead of time.
Hey, I'll tell you what.
I think that's a great idea, though.
I do, but I think size is overrated.
I said it's live radio. I was diving into it.
And I think size is overrated. Nobody can control whether the monster is coming through and all that. If we have a lot of avid listeners, and thanks for being there. How about if we just mutually, you send in the photographs to Mark or to our shout-out section in the
I was thinking in the shout-out. Okay. Like maybe
and we mutually decide what's the coolest photograph, maybe. I mean, no,
or coolest story.
Yeah. All right, I'll put it together.
Sorry,
right, so Mark. Now, guys.
Mark is so mad right
is
now.
Is it going to be a story or is it going to be a photograph?
I think it has to be one of the... You have to have a photograph.
I think we mutually agree on the coolest photograph story situation.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so every shout-out is going to have a little story about it.
Maybe a first-time hunter with a beautiful deer. Maybe a great story of a grandfather. Something that tugs the heart.
And the winner of this... Gets to come in and be a guest host with us.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And when Sam brings the swag, all right?
And we will present it to them and take a picture for our Facebook.
Everybody needs a coffee cup. Everybody needs a coffee cup.
Also, we don't have coffee cups, but we could do like we could do a shirt. We could
bag
do
a bag of operator coffee.
Operator Coffee, one of our awesome sponsors. We could do a Blaze Orange stocking cap.
I know Bill throwing a cat's cover.
Yes, he will. Yeah,
let's do I know some. You're listening, Bill.
Mark, I apologize for throwing this on, but
this
I'm excited.
This is going to be fun.
I think it's a great idea. It's not like there's a whole lot going on this week with, you know.
Yeah.
And let's hope the people who the person who wins this does want to come into the studio. You know, it's like, well, where do you live?
Well, that could be a stipulation.
About a block from the studio. You want to come in? Nah, that's all right.
And then you don't win, man.
They don't win. They don't win. If we select them, we will private message them if they don't want to come in the studio. We'll select someone else.
We won't do it on the shout out. We'll do like opening night. I'll post something.
Okay.
We'll contest.
So we'll run it through
our Facebook page.
Should we just run it for the first two weekends?
Yeah.
Or should we do all three weekends?
Let's do the first two.
First two weekends. All right. Breaking news.
Keep talking. I'm looking up something. You guys keep talking.
Well, so we are going to be deer hunting on your property this weekend.
We are.
Week
from tomorrow.
Next week. I've never in my life used a slug gun or a shotgun with a slug to hunt. So tell me, I'm going to go sight it in this week, get a good pattern, get a good grouping. I've never done it in my life. I've shot slugs on the farm having fun, but anything I need to know? I got a cylinder choke or whatever, an open choke, so I don't blast my barrel
out. So you bought one of those?
I bought one.
What'd it cost you?
$30.
All right. I can afford that if I have to, but I don't think I have to.
We'll find out. We will check tonight.
All right.
So what I'm going to say about a slug is it's literally a cannonball coming out of a small shouldered cannon.
Mm-hmm.
There's not as accurate as a rifle.
And it hurts.
I mean, it doesn't hurt. It might hurt you. Me and Mark can take it.
Yeah, I'm sure you could.
The reason I'm saying that is because you're not as going to shoot it as far.
Yep.
And
have open sights and a bead and not a scope.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to want to shoot
75
yards max, depending. I mean, you could shoot 100. I know guys who have.
I'm not going to shoot 100.
So I would say we'll put you in a spot where you're not going to have a far shot, or we'll know they're going to come in. But, yeah, I mean,
I'm a good shot with a shotgun.
I know you are. I've seen that.
I need to know what to expect.
So I would want them – consider them – like you're shooting with a crossbow. That's the distance. So he said 50, 60 yards.
Now, if I'm confident I placed a good shot, like with a rifle, I know I made a good shot. But in the deer runs off and, you know, okay, we'll track it. Now, with the slug gun, do I volley a couple down there?
No, you shoot it once and you have to wait for it to land.
A slug is devastating. They're big. It's a big piece of lead going through that body. I would just aim at the vitals, let her rip.
Let her rip.
And we'll find it.
If you make contact, it's going
to
go down.
And not blasting as it runs away?
No.
Shoot in the butt so you have to clean it for me?
Right up your bingo hole, in the words of Diupers. You guys ever listen to Diupers?
I remember my cousins were farmers, and they would shoot with slugs in the farm. And, you know, there'd be a deer crossing in front of them, and they would absolutely unload. And I remember my dad, I was talking about that. You know, it would just make a mess of them. It's like, why are you doing that?
It was
still running.
Yeah. No, there's a thing called adrenaline that even deer have, and they'll run if they're shot. So, no, a slug is a big piece of lead going through. So,
you're going to know when it makes contact.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, last week we talked a little bit about poaching, and then someone poached a deer on Sam's property a couple of weeks ago, which was terribly unfortunate. But and I told you about the Gentry, right? The Montgomery Gentry guys.
Yes, yes, yes.
And here, and you, Montgomery Gentry is a country music group, and I'm surprised they're still hanging in there. But this, I told you, this, one of the guys
one
got
of
busted.
Them is dead for sure.
Is he dead?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he passed away a couple years ago.
Hopefully it's not this guy. All right. So it says here, singer Gentry of the Montgomery Gentry group, I think his name was, has been sentenced to 3 months in of probation and $15,000 for killing a captive black bear. He also had to give up hunting in Minnesota for 5 years. He pleaded guilty for the misdemeanor in November, and the bear, the black bear that he shot, and he claimed that he shot it out in the wilderness, was in a three-acre pen. So, so that was something that we talked
crazy.
About.
At least it beats like a 10 by 10 pen. I mean, 3 acres.
Yeah.
3 acres. At least he's still track it. it's so crazy how that happens. We talked about Chris Brackett last week. There's another guy, too. I can't think of his name. He's from Louisiana. He was a huge name in the outdoors. He actually owned a couple businesses, too. And
Rod Owen.
No.
Nope. I got Rod Owen right here. We'll talk about him later on.
He shot an elk in Montana or Wyoming when he only had a cow tag, and he shot an elk, and someone saw it and reported him, and he's now off the air. He lost all his businesses or went to crap, and he got like a lifetime ban from Montana.
Yikes.
Or something like that.
This guy named Rod Owen is he's got a television show, and he's on Outdoor Channel, and he's on what's it called? I can't find it right now, but he's been out there for a long, long time, and he was hunting with what do you call the guy who helps you?
A guide.
Well, the whole company, you know, the whole
guide service.
Yeah. Guide service. I don't know. It's like hidden. It's called Hidden Hills. But anyway, so Hidden Hills has been busted for having a number of guys come out there and shoot animals illegally, shooting hawks and all kinds of birds for target practice and whatnot, and. It says here, I don't have my glasses on, but it says here, Don, that the investigator, he got fined. Oh, he charged people $2,500 to $7,000 a piece to shoot animals illegally. And this Rod Owen, who is the Outdoor Channel guy I was talking about, actually shot a big buck during bow season, did a show about it, and he actually shot it during bow season with a rifle. And he got fined $50,000, lost his license forever, and the Outdoor Channel told him, hit the road, and he's done. Yeah,
so. I don't understand poachers. They drive me nuts. There's so much state land. Like, go do it. I mean, like, my dad said when we talked about that poaching, like, how proud is someone going to be? It'll be like, yeah, I poached this baby last week, you know.
Well, it's the same thing with fishing tournaments, right? Yeah. People, like, you know, stashing a basket of fish somewhere and, like, do you really feel good about that?
Right. And that's why I'm such a big fan of cellular cameras. Actually, so the Reveal cameras I use, their Facebook page, even just today I saw a guy said, thank God for cellular cameras, because I took the Reveal camera took this picture of two poachers were using muzzle loaders during bow season. I think it was in Minnesota. And they turned it into the sheriff's and they caught them. And the stupid part about us, these poachers were walking down this main trail wearing blaze orange during bow season with muzzleloaders. Like, if you're going to poach, why would you wear blaze
sneaky
orange?
About it.
Yeah, but they caught them. So that's another, you know, reason I like cellular cameras.
Now, my son Mike asked me this question. I already asked you, but the deer that was poached on your property, if you weren't listening last week, someone went on to Sam's property.
It was technically my father-in-law's side.
Yeah, and shot a deer illegally and just took the head and left the rest of the body there, which is even worse if you ask me. But my son asked me, did you call turn in poachers?
And I didn't, because it would have been, you know, it would have been to me just like a phone call that, you know, they how would I know where would they track?
Yeah.
Where would they start?
Yeah.
You know, and I just felt like, you know, I would let the predators take care of it. And so, like, I went out there last week, so it was like a week afterwards, and coyotes picked her clean.
Yeah.
So
I bet if I
had more stuff, it would have just been like a rabbit trail, though, like saying, hey, I got a dead deer here, and they're gonna be like, okay, you and 100 other people, we'll get to it when we can. I probably should have, but you know, I don't call the cops unless I have to.
I don't blame you. In case they check into your background.
I do a lot of gray area stuff. I'm just joking.
Ooh,
we'll be right back.
Who do we got next?
You can tell him. You can tell him.
Which one of our guests? Is it Thane or Steve?
We have Thane.
Thane Jensen from Clam Outdoors, next on the 4 Outdoors.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the 4 Outdoorsmen anytime.
Hey, Strewman here for Devil's Lake Tourism. It's not a secret that Devil's Lake is known for fantastic fishing, but now is the time for you to double up with your annual Cast and Blast. Devil's Lake is also known for some of the best bird hunting in this country, so hey, you can shoot a few pheasants in the morning and maybe catch a few walleyes in the afternoon. That, my friends, is just about the perfect day. Hey, bring your fishing rod, bring your shotgun, bring your family. For more information, simply go to devilslakend.com. Hey, and thanks.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsman like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud or shop online at McKaysDodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
If your furnace or AC rolls over, it's time to call the top dog, Dazeal Heating and Air Conditioning. With fast emergency service, when you call, we come running. Our experts are well-trained and lead the pack in residential furnace and AC repair and replacement. We always listen and work to assure your family's safety. Plus, easy, available financing means there's no runaround. Dazeal Heating and Air, the homeowner's best friend. Serving Wright County and the West Metro. Online at DazeelHVAC.com.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved, made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
Tis the season of camping, boating, and fishing, and you don't want to be left out because your trailer's broken. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove can fix it and get you back to the outdoors. Crystal Welding offers a wide variety of services, including welding, maintenance, and repairs for all types of trailers. Crystal Welding is your one-stop shop for all of your trailer needs. Go to crystalwelding.com for more information. Crystal Welding. Solutions. Service. Results.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No time to small.
What does that Ski-Doo feeling sound like?
Woohoo!
Whoa, dude, I love that thing.
Oh, that was awesome!
Hey, let's go again.
Yeah, it sounds a little something like that. And now you can get that Ski-Doo feeling during our Yellow Tag event. On now, visit Power Lodge in Ramsey and get up to $1,500 off select 2020 Summit A50 E-Tech models. Offer ends October 31st, 2020. Restrictions apply. Customer offers vary based on creditworthiness. See dealer for details.
If you owe back taxes, there's a lot you need to know, starting with rule number one. Don't mess with the IRS. They are cracking down this year by sending out heart-stopping letters, actively garnishing paychecks, levying bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. That's all true. But it's also true there's a way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, an important government program for tax debt assistance. It's one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered, so now's the time. You could qualify for tax relief that saves you thousands, even tens of thousands. Nobody knows this program like the award-winning experts at Optima Tax. Tax Relief. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and will fight to get you the best deal possible. Don't mess with the IRS. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-574-9188. 800-574-9188. 800-574-9188.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, Thane Jensen of Clam Outdoors is with us. Thane, welcome to the 4 Outdoorsmen, buddy.
Hey, how you guys doing? Sounds like a bunch of turkeys in there.
I loved your giggle, man.
Hey, did you go to Mille Lacs?
I did not. The wind this weekend was gas, and seems like everywhere you went. So I made a point to get the honeydew list done and went and checked out some new deer land this morning, me and the dog, and yep.
Sorry I didn't call you, Thane.
Yeah.
It's okay. That's just our, chomping at the bit.
That's our buddy Sam. I tell you, how do you go find, you said you went to check out new hunting land. What, do you just walk down the street and knock on a door? What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I went to find the place. I've been fortunate enough to have been granted permission on some new property that I've never been on, and my father and I are going to take to the woods on Saturday for opener, and we're super excited, and I figured I better at least know where I'm going.
Did you find it all right?
Oh, yeah. No worries. No worries.
Did you find that south food plot?
Took a little bit of a walk about, yep.
Good.
Yep, all's well. So
that's where you want to be.
Did you hook him up, or how do you know?
We're excited.
That's my Mora thing. Oh, I got it. A little inside info. Now I'm in the loop. Yep. Got it.
But I know the fish would have been chomping, too. It's just one of those deals where, man, when it's gassing like it was yesterday and today, it's not a whole lot of fun to try and go out and just get beat up.
I was in the woods with a bull yesterday morning for a couple of hours. I thought, this is stupid. it wasn't any fun, and it wasn't bad temperature. It might have been like 30 degrees or something like that, but the wind was just nasty. So I thought, a couple hours is enough. You know, that was a lot of fun. Hey, we're talking with Thane Jensen of Clam Outdoors. Is that what the company's actually called, Clam Outdoors?
Yeah, Clam Outdoors, Clam Corporation. You know, there's many brands underneath that Clam Outdoors or Clam Corporation umbrella.
You've been a nice representative for Clam for a number of years right now. What are your responsibilities at Clam? One of our great sponsors, by the way.
I am the customer service manager for all brands underneath that umbrella.
So it's like being in lost luggage at the airport. No one calls you for good reasons, right?
Well, you know, the good news, Drew, is this, is honestly, we've got a great team all across the board. The entire company works their tail off to take care of our customers, and customer service is no different. I've got a great team working for me, and we do our best. And I would say we do actually get those emails and phone calls where people say thank you. But, yeah, you're right. It's not always. Usually they're having a bad day.
Yeah.
I remember I was in the office once and you were on the phone call thing. It was my favorite call. Thane's awesome at customer service. You can just tell. He goes, listen, sir, I would love to replace this rod for you, but nobody here told you to throw it away a year ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I just walked laughing.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That one was tricky. We always get a few of those.
I remember you just like you were super nice, and that was the last thing you said. Listen, sir, I would love to replace it.
That's funny. Hey, what's new with Clam? What's going on this year?
Oh, boy. We are so excited, you guys. I tell you what, the 40th anniversary of the fish trap, this is something that I've been super jacked up about, you know, a year ago, knowing it was coming. And, you know, to have that 40th anniversary scout fish trap with all the new technology sitting alongside that, you know, one of the first five that Dave and his family built in their garage. There's just something special to that. And I think the way they're flying off the shelves, I think that the ice fishing world is taking notice, and they're excited as well.
Hey, Thane, it's Mark here. That one specifically, that new model, it's built to look like the original, correct? With all the modern, like,
that's
insulation,
correct,
and everything. That's awesome. So I have in my mind that kind of tarp color is it like that tarp color? Does it say fish trap on the side like Dave's original?
Yep. So it's, it's kind of an off-white eggshelly color, mm-hmm, if you will, like the old canvas back in the day would have weathered too. It says the word fish trap on it, just like the old stencils. It's not hand spray painted it on by Kathy and Missy, but nonetheless, it's that same red color. We've added some things, you know, obviously it's got, you know, the necessary reflective pieces for safety. It's got an extra red flag up on top for safety as well. And then there's red piping along it and the 40th anniversary logo. So we've got it in the Scout, the Kenai Pro, and then the Yukon. Super excited. They're super cool.
There's obviously some kind of a – can you fold this thing down and just drag it out on the ice with your own sled like they – Dave did 50 years ago, whatever it was?
Yep, absolutely. That scout, like I said, if you were to sit that first one next to the one for this season, the 40th anniversary, there's very little difference. I mean, as far as the shape, the size, you know, it's so close. But, you know, they're light years apart when you start looking at the technology, which is just, you know, proof in how far this industry has come.
I tell you what, I think it'd be easy to drag this thing out, and all it is, you just flip it over, right? And you got the floor, and must have two holes in there, I'm guessing. And
yep,
No floor.
Yeah, just like mine.
It's got a sled that you flip over, mm-hmm. and then the fishable space is, you know, out in front of you there. The Scout and the Kenai Pro are both going to be one-man flipping fish where you don't have to extend any poles. The Yukon, obviously, is going to be, you know, a shelter where you'll have to extend those poles out.
So there's going to be some insulation and all that, I'm sure. But this is a great yep. – having that kind of a fish out gives you a great excuse not to have anybody come with you. I'd love to have you with me, man.
I've always said, you know, a one-man fish house or a one-person fish house, it promotes moving. And that's, you know, Clam and Ice Team, we promote that quite a bit. It's like if the fish aren't here, you need to move and go find them. And I found in my personal experience – and Strew, you definitely would have an issue with this. If I'm sitting next to my buddy and the fish aren't biting, we just get to jaw jacking, and next thing you know, it's been 3 hours and we ain't seen a fish. Well, we're more apt to move if we're not seeing or catching fish if we're by ourselves in a one man. We can still fish right next to each other, but it just helps you to be a lot more portable and mobile.
Hey, Thane, how are things going for you guys this year with COVID? Obviously, there's a huge boom in the outdoors industry. We saw that with open water fishing and boats. Are you guys getting swamped now? And with no sports shows, how does that affect you guys this year?
Yeah. You know, I tell you what, Mark, it's a great question, and we get asked it a lot when talking with customers. Over the years, Clam has diversified and kind of tried to make our business a well-rounded year-round business as opposed to so seasonal with just the winter ice fishing. Our Kwikset line of screen shelters absolutely went berserk this summer. That, and then you combine the folks wanting to get outside and do yard work because they really couldn't go anywhere else. So the Polar Trailer line was huge. Blackfish gear, you know, another one that took off. So we were very blessed to have had a very robust spring and summer selling season. We're seeing ice fishing roll in the same direction. Our retailers are, I mean, we had ice fishing products sitting on the floors at many retailers first part of October, which is historically when we're just starting to ship that stuff. So it's been a blessing, but we also are very aware that there are others that haven't been as fortunate in other industries that have been hit hard, and we certainly are thinking of those folks.
Thane, what is the price tag on the new fish trap?
Oh boy! Well, there's a bunch of them, so
give me the pinning down here a little bit.
But I want to say that Scout's going to be right in the $450 range ish.
Okay, seems fair to me. Yeah, it seems fair to me, right?
Thane, I was going to ask this. I was going to change the subject on you, but since we're back on it, on this 40th anniversary,
yeah,
how many of them do you have? Is it a limited number? Because it's just for the listeners, if they want to get one, should they get one fast?
Absolutely.
It is a limited number.
Like I said, I know that there are some models that we're already sold out of within our, you know, our warehouse. They should still be fairly readily available at retail. But, yes, it's a one and done. We're not making more of them.
So do you know that number and how many they've made or no?
I don't. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I said, we do a forecast, and that's the other thing, right? With all of our products this ice season, these forecasts were made back in, you know, right at the beginning of COVID when people were a little bit gun-shy. So I can tell you that a lot of retailers have reordered a couple times, and products coming in every day and going out just as fast. So it is our prediction that things are going to sell out this year. Probably sooner than ever, and we're just, like I said, doing our best to get people taken care of as best we can.
Hey, Thane, Clam really jumped into the hard water tackle realm in the last couple of years, and We've used it religiously, and it's been awesome. Is there anything new in the tackle end this year that we should look out for?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know,
you got excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Oh, yeah, I've been very excited. Clam Pro Tackle is something that that has been just really, really amazing for our company and our brand. It's we're excited this year to be launching just two new baits. We didn't launch a whole mess of stuff, but we launched two new baits at Clam Pro Tackle, and one I'm super jacked about, the Tika Minnow. It's a glide bait style, similar to like your jig and wrap or your shiver minnows or your puppet minnows or whatever from other companies. But the difference with our Tika Minnow is it's an all molded alloy bait. Okay, so like a lot of other baits, glide baits, they've got a plastic fin on the back, and you know, the problem with that is they want to break.
Right.
They break off, they get crunched, whatnot, banging them in the rocks. This zinc alloy bodied bait is very, very durable, and I've already been smashing fish on it in open water, so I can only imagine how greasy it's going to be once ice hits.
Do you need my address to ship all these new things?
I'm telling you right now, those things are hard to come by. Like I said, they come in, they go out. You know, our retailers are snapping them up just as fast as we can get them in. Our pros are super excited. There's a lot of those folks that haven't been able to get them because they come in and boom, the retailers are gobbling stuff up. So the Tika Minnow, I was just recently at Shields and Eden Prairie, and they were loaded up with them. So get on out there. Another thing that we've got coming, and this is another little Dave Gens trick, the Silky Jig Trailer. It's a little bitty rubber bead, and it's got 100% natural silk strands running through it. And as you just kind of put it on your jig, and after a little while, the silk absorbs water, so it flows naturally in the water, unlike, you know, marabou or flashaboo or, you know, all that other stuff, hair. It's really kind of unique, and I love that because you don't always have to put new bait on. It holds the scent, and it's very, very durable, so you might be able to, even when your live bait has fallen off the hook, you can still fish it.
We're talking with Thane Jensen of Clam Outdoors and Clam, what the heck, everything else, but we all know who Clam is. But you mentioned retailer. What percentage of your business is retailer, and do you sell to the general public as well?
So that's a great question, Stru. I would say that probably 90% of our sales go through our retailers, and we have many retailers across the ice belt, you know, from your small mom-and-pop bait stores to your large big-box stores. You know, your Cabela's, your Fleet Farms and stuff like that. We do sell to the public on our website. It's not something we promote a ton just because we want to be fair to our retailers. And like I said, at the end of the day, kind of our agreement is we sell at MSRP and they follow our mapped out pricing program. But, the majority of our sales are coming from retail.
I imagine that makes sense because you don't want to shoot those guys in the foot, obviously, because that's your bread and butter, I tell you.
Hey, absolutely, listen. And they do such a good job of getting it to their people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, as a company and manufacturer, distributor, I mean, and we kind of wear all three of those hats, you know, it would be very difficult to be everywhere.
Tell you what, pal, we're going to let you go, but thanks to you and to Clam for being a good friend of the Four Outdoorsmen and sponsor. We love talking to you because we love getting all I can just see your enthusiasm when you're talking about the Tika and the Silky Bead Trailer and all this kind of stuff, which doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm going to find out all about it. But thanks for all you guys do at Clam.
10 minutes on that Tika Minnow is it's enough to get anybody excited.
Hey, before I let you go, I'm going to ask you a question, all right? Now, you know, Mark has been kind of still have a kind of a novice still here for a bit turkey hunting. Yeah, you are. You haven't gotten a bird yet.
No,
you know,
I haven't.
Yeah. Have you got any advice?
We were supposed to fix that last year.
I know.
He told me he would. But
I was close.
Have you got any advice for Mark to help him get a turkey the next season?
I would say the first bit of advice, Mark, is you need to have me come with you.
Yes. Done.
That's a good.
That's the first bit and probably the best bit of advice.
What's the second bit of advice?
The best bit of advice is I'll do the calling.
All right.
Well, give me an example.
That was pretty good.
Thane Jensen, pal. If you,
that was pretty good.
I just strutted.
If Clam ever shuts down.
Thane That's with Jensen's no call. That's with no call.
Get the hell out of here, Thane. Talk to you later, boy. I'll tell you what. We'll be right back, right? Right back. Thanks, Thane. Isn't that funny? You want to be socially distant? Well, Devil's Lake has nearly 170,000 acres. It's been rated one of the top five fisheries in all of the United States, and for good reasons. Yep, the fishing itself is Devil's Lake's biggest lure. You get that? But what also keeps bringing vacationers back are the friendly people, the service, the hotels, the restaurants, the outdoor opportunities, the city itself. Hey, trust Struman on this one. Bring your fishing rod. Bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
There's nothing like a good cup of coffee to start your morning off right. My family and I choose Operator Coffee, not only because it's packed full of flavor, but it's brewed for service. Portions of each bag are donated to a few different nonprofit organizations that bring veterans into the great outdoors. Operator Coffee offers six different small batch roasted flavors. Whether you like light, medium, dark, ground, or whole bean, they have it all. Check it out at operatorcoffee.com. Oh, did I mention it's roasted here in Minnesota? OperatorCoffee.com.
If your furnace or AC rolls over, it's time to call the top dog, Dazeal Heating and Air Conditioning. With fast emergency service, when you call, we come running. Our experts are well-trained and lead the pack in residential furnace and AC repair and replacement. We always listen and work to assure your family's safety. Plus, easy available financing means there's no runaround. Dazeal Heating and Air, the homeowner's best friend. Serving Wright County and the West Metro. Online at DazeelHVAC.com.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved, made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company. You can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
Power Lodge is the official power sports dealer for the Four Outdoorsmen. Open water season is winding down, but that means it's the best time to get great deals on new 2020 boats in stock. New 2021 Lund, Alumacraft, Lowe, Ranger, and Godfrey boats are arriving weekly, which means it's time to move out the 2020s. Save thousands on new 2020 boats during our model year-end sales event. Going on now at all Power Lodge locations, Brainerd, Ramsey, and Onamia.
Get a $100 gift card for only $50 at DealsOnRadio.com for a trade, upgrade, or repair to your smartphone or computer at Device Pit Stop in Maple Grove.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
Total Country Bob FM.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Before we get to our next guest, we're going to do a couple shout-outs here. We got John Marshall said on our way back from setting stands up for deer season. Clam, he said, Clam has the best customer service, great company, and great employees. We agree.
Yep.
Chris Keeler says, be nice to your local gunsmith. They want to go hunting too. Call, don't call 47 times this week to see if it's ready. Isn't going to make your parts ship faster or the workload any lighter. And then our good friend Bill Katz says he's home listening while he's making some covers.
Thank you, everyone, for writing in.
Are we doing sponsors right now?
No, let's do it at the end. Why don't we introduce our next guest?
Steve, are you there, my friend?
Yes, I am.
We're best friends already. I'll tell you what, I might have screwed up because Brandon, our engineer, came running in from the other studio and saying, I think you might have written down the wrong phone number. So
you
we're
one number off.
One number off. I was close. You know, it's my whole world is like that. So he, but he yes, like the lottery. I can't even do seven numbers here. But Steve Della Reyes. When you say Delos Reyes, do you pronounce the S after the L O?
Yes, it's Delos Reyes. It's actually Spanish for of the kings. So. It's,
ooh.
All right. It's separated three words.
Well, you're the
we're not worthy.
It's a beautiful name, De Los Reyes. Can I roll the R? De Los Reyes.
Yeah, right. Reyes. Yeah.
Well, you're the king of the tattoo people. I'll tell you that for sure. Anyway, hey Steve, thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsman. Yep. Power Lodge, Corey from Power Lodge gave us your name because he said this guy loves to hunt. He loves to do it all, and he'd be a great guest. We had a chance to talk yesterday, I think, and Corey was right. Now, tell us now, first I want to hear about your daughter's, before we get to the duck hunting and stuff and what you do, tell us about your daughter's first deer hunt and her first successful deer this year.
Okay, well, we got to do the youth deer. She's 13, and we went out, and I actually rattled a nice 8 in, and it hung up about 75 yards away, and we just could not get it to close. And so we had a decent look at it for probably 45 minutes on the last day, on the 18th, when I told her there was about 40 minutes left, and she was starting to sweat it a little bit, and then with about 30 minutes left, she was definitely feeling the sweat, and then all of a sudden, with 20 minutes left, she says, there's a doe, and that just so happens to be facing the other way. Now, she duck hunts with me a lot and dove hunts, so she's savvy with her gun, so I never questioned that to where she was looking or how far, because she can judge really well. So I knew that she was going to be on it. So I just took the opportunity to go ahead and film her, and I put her on my Snapchat, and because that's how all kids communicate nowadays.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I
yeah.
just jumped into that. So I actually filmed her, and she was asking all the right questions. We had already like marked off how far her range was and what she needed to be doing in order to be on top of, you know, the aiming process and get a good harvest and a nice shot. And she placed it perfect, and it was coming right at us, and she placed it in high enough to where it exited right underneath the right shoulder and the shoulder blade, and didn't hurt any of the meat, went right through, and it probably got 20 yards before it was absolutely dead as a nail. So.
Oh, what a thrill. You know, you sent me the information and the photographs and all that. It's what a thrill for a young lady. And I've got a 16-year-old granddaughter and a 13-year-old granddaughter. And the 13-year-old right now is bow hunting with her dad, my son. And she hasn't gotten one yet. She hasn't had a shot. But I'm excited for her as well. And to be able to spend that much time with my son, Mike, because Mike's a great guy. And that bonding is something that you just can't put a dollar value on.
Absolutely. And being that she's a female, you know, there's not a lot of hunters out there that are female that love it as much as she does. Well, males for that, because I've done some duck hunts where it's, you know, we're breaking ice both ways and going out and, you know, dipping the decoys to get the snow off of them. And she's right there. She's not a fair weather hunter, that's for sure. So she does really well with that, and so this deer hunting stuff, even though it was cold, it was 28 that day, so with a good wind, and she didn't even blink at it. It was, and I'll be honest with you, it was one of those days where I was just laying in bed, and we were going to do the afternoon hunt, and I'm like, do you know, because we got another season coming up, so I figured, let's see how motivated she comes in. We're going, right? I'll be in the truck. I'm like, all right, we're going. And then I got in a truck, and the rest is history. So you know, she basically talked me into it, and I'm usually good about going, but it was one of those days where, you know, it was I wasn't feeling very enthusiastic about the movement of the deer at the time, which was just my mistake, and she was right. So it was awesome.
My son Mike and Amberly, you know, I was with him yesterday, and I said, you know, he had to go pick her up. You know, his first wife, you know, that, you know, the whole thing, but he had to go pick her up in the morning, and she's 13 years old, and she had to get up at 5 o'clock 2 days in a row for a 13-year-old girl to do that on her own. That's not easy to do.
That's great.
And she also had eye makeup on at 5 o'clock in the morning, or what do you call it, a shadow or something, so I was pretty impressed.
Gotta look good if you get one.
Yeah, we're talking
just with, like a grandpa.
We're talking with Steve De Los Reyes, and he's an avid hunter of all different kinds of animals, but... And he's with Ink Kings. Tattoo Parlor in Otsego. I want to talk about that in a little bit, but where did you get your love for the outdoors? What is that background?
Well, long story short, I'm actually from the West Coast. I was born in Yuma, Arizona, and my grandfather was a transplant from Minnesota, which they were from Blaine. My uncle, who got rheumatic fever, they went looked for the hottest, driest place to live in order for him to not have the side effects of the fever itself with the fluid building up and the things like that, which I'm not very versed on that. I'm not a doctor, but that's the story that was told to me, how we wound up in Yuma. Well, my mom then moved us back to California and back and forth because she was the allure of California at the time was something she wanted. But I would always go back. And my grandpa would, we'd go get the 14-foot boat. And I was always a real good artist. So I would always paint all the decoys and do all the things like that before we could go. That was my way of earning my way into the boat. And then we would go out and hunt Mentry Lake outside of Yuma, Arizona, and I thought it was cold because it was 50 degrees, and I was wearing two pairs of jeans, and my butt was sticking to the aluminum and that kind of stuff. But now that I hunt Minnesota, and my lineage is from here, so I came back here, and now I could see where my grandfather, his love for waterfowling and outdoors, that's kind of where it stemmed from, and dove hunting was always a part of it because I was new there. For us, because there's not a great the dove hunting here can be good, but you have to really know where you're going. Down there, it's world class. The only place better is Argentina, so it's really, really good. And so that's why, and it gets you really sharp for the early teal and all the quick birds moving through, even wood ducks. So it helps, and that's how that's what sparked the interest. And then the catfishing in the channels and all the different things, just outdoors, catching crawdads and all that stuff.
Good for you, man. Sam.
Hey, Steve, Sam here. So when you moved back or came back to Minnesota, did you ever think, why the heck did I come back here with this weather from leaving Arizona?
Honestly, here's the funny thing is that when you live there, it's 128 outside. It's 115 in the shade. You get in and the GM sign gets seared into the back fat right above your hip there, and you start to think, what am I doing in this thing?
Yeah,
and then
true.
You come here and you're like, it's nice. All I got to do is keep putting on layers. I'm good. I can do that. I'm not a little guy, so I'm kind of built for this weather. Down there, man, I was sweating for no reason, and like you can't even tell you're getting dehydrated because it evaporates off of you. So. It sounds like, why would you leave Arizona? Well, it's because it's Arizona. I like it here. I actually love Minnesota. The people, the culture, the everything. It's a fantastic place. I travel a lot for my tattoo business and I can't wait to get home because it's just a great quality of life for me and my kids.
I lived in Seattle, Washington for a year when I was in high school, and the one thing I remember about Seattle as compared to Minnesota was I missed the change in all the seasons. The anticipation of another season. There's always something going on, and getting ready for another season of whatever sport or hunting, whatever, or fishing, whatever it is, that was pretty exciting. That's one of the best things about being in Minnesota.
Absolutely. I start getting birdie. I'll start watching the skies. I'll see them in the park, and it won't do anything to me all summer, and I'll just like, okay, whatever. But then as soon as that weather starts to change, I start looking to the skies and looking for where they're starting to congregate, and then it kind of goes through that cycle. As soon as I'm done with duck hunting here in Minnesota, I'll do the migration. I'll follow the migration to Oklahoma, which then it'll be like 40 or 50 degrees down there, and everybody's freezing, and we'll be in, a hoodie and some sweats, and they're like, aren't you freezing? You're like, silly people, man. We're from the tundra. There's no way that this is cold. 50 degrees in the middle of or the early part of January is nice, so that's the way it works for me when I start getting birdie, and then I immediately jump into the ice fishing and that as soon as I get back. So it's kind of like that cycle, and I look forward to it every year.
You were talking about, I think your first love is waterfowl, and of course you do everything else as well, but then you also talked about dove hunting. How does dove hunting work into your waterfowl in the state of Minnesota, and do you go every year to shoot some doves and try to get ready, and where do you do that?
I'll go down, because I was born in Yuma, I'll go back to visit my family and use dove hunting as the excuse.
There you go.
I'll fly to California. I'll fly to California, let my kids enjoy some of the Southern California, the food and some of the things that I like down there. And then we'll go to Yuma and get, you know, get our sweat on really good. And then, we'll go out and do the scouting. And there it's the here's the funny part about dove hunting in Yuma. The dove are colorblind and only pick up on motion. So that's just what I was told when I was young by my grandfather. And ironically, here's how it works. If you're wearing camo, they will flare on you. But if you dress like a migrant worker, which is, you know, a lot of the guys are out there running the canals and doing all the irrigation and that kind of stuff. They have the buses that come across the border that help, you know, with the agriculture and that kind of stuff, and just workers that are just dressed in their daily apparel to get through the day of the heat. If you just dress like that, they'll fly right by you. But if you dress in camo and try to tuck in, and it seems like as soon as you lift your barrel, they see your shadow and they're moving and they're dipping and dodging. But if you stand out in the open and I always go to Walmart and buy throwaway white sneakers and that kind of stuff, and they just fly right by me, no problem. And you just get your limit and get out of there.
You were talking about duck hunting earlier yesterday as well, and I think it was yesterday morning early enough. Thanks for taking so much time to do so. But one of the things you told me is that you just bought a brand new duck boat from Power Lodge, and thanks for supporting our sponsor as well. But why did you, and you went first class, and I'm proud of you, man, but why did you just go jump off the bridge with no parachute and buy one of the best things you could and get yourself a brand new duck boat?
First off, I started off with the connection with Corey from Power Lodge. Corey was fantastic. I was looking at different boats, from surface drive mud motors to, you know, but I'm 6'7", my kids aren't going to be small, and I just needed more room. I like to hunt three or four. I have a lot of friends that like to go with me, so I was looking at something that I could kind of universally use, as well as, you know, I fish a lot, and I like to go after big northerns and muskies and things like that, so I wanted to kind of have a dual purpose. And so when talking to Corey, I had owned a low roughneck prior to that, and they didn't even sell them anymore, but they had been a sister company that did still sell them. So what he did is he called them, coordinated it, actually got the blind that was custom built for it in Missouri, where they sent the boat to Missouri, then the Missouri and back. He just did so many great things for me that Corey was fantastic. I can't say enough great things about the guy. He's jumped through hoops for me. And I got all these little like ideas that I want to do because I'm a waterfowler, and I'm like, this isn't going to work. This is going to freeze. Yeah. This isn't going to work. This is going to freeze. You know, that's what I'm telling him. And he's like, okay, we'll move this over here. Move these buttons over here. You know, yeah, because the original design had the buttons back by where you climb in the boat. And you're like, well, those won't work after about, you know, 2 weeks of hunting. So, and then he did a real good job. So Corey was fantastic. And ever since then, he's had my business. And I'm glad, you know, he's your guys' sponsor, but he's the guy. He really did a great job. And the people that were at Power Lodge were always really cordial and did really well. But I always just went through him, and he's done a great job. I'll continue to support his business.
He's a good man. You also told me that you were, after all these years, you deserved a better boat because you were tired of dragging these boats through swamps and getting stuck in the mud, and enough's enough. So, yeah, so good for you. Yeah. Hey, let's talk about your business a little bit. Inkings. Okay. Now, you have a degree from Cal Fullerton, I think, in California. That's where it has to be, right? And is that in art? And how did you end up getting in the tattoo business?
Okay, technical illustration is what I went to school for at Cal State Fullerton. Yeah. It was to illustrate books. And then I was working in law enforcement at the Anoka County Sheriff's Office. And when I was there, my grandmother got cancer. And she was always the one that supported my artistic endeavors. So when she said that I should do something with art, and this was pretty much her last words when I went to visit her, she gave me the how they put them in this fog when they're going mm-hmm. through the process. And she had struggled with cancer for quite some time. And then one day I went in and she had this moment of clarity and she said, you need to do something with your art. And I just thought, man, I'm like, Grandma, you'll starve. You know, I'm already in a career. I'm making good money. You know, I already got my 401k. I don't know how I'm going to make a, she's like, well, you're kind of you know, you're one of those guys that just makes it happen. So you're a survivor. You'll figure it out. And I'm just like, okay, thanks for the advice, Grandma. But like, I was pretty hesitant. And then, ironically, the next day, I had to come to grips with the fact that she was gone. And when I walked out of the hospital, and this was in Monticello, they were fantastic to her. And I walked out of the hospital in Monticello. I had this just the weird calming feeling, like, all right, I got to figure out how to get it, to do something with art. So I started carving those relief maps for Cabela's, and I was doing it by hand. And some guy with a CNC machine came in and, you know, lowballed everything. And I was like, well, there goes that idea. And then I started trying to figure out some stuff. And I went to get a tattoo of Clint Eastwood on my arm. And when I was sitting in the chair, the artist, you know, and I didn't want to go to any tattoo artist because it's kind of a seedy feeling. You know, I wanted it to feel good. And when I came into the shop, the guy was pretty articulate, pretty smart guy. And he started talking to me and he goes, why don't you just become a tattoo artist? I'm like, yeah, I'm not trying to be that kind of, you know. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I go, well, you know, I'm just not, I guess I'm not educated in the kind of culture that you're talking about. And he goes, well, you know, you're paying me X amount of dollars, aren't you? And that's more than what you make. And I'm like, well, I'm listening.
Hey, Corey, hang on a second. I mean, Steve, we got to wrap this up. But I'll tell you what, if you guys want to see what he does, go to Ink Kings. He's got a tattoo parlor in Otsego. And here's how successful this guy is. His next appointment available is in June of 2021. Steve, we have to have you on for the entire show sometime and have you in the studio because you have tons of stories. I tell you what, I'm glad for your career, and thanks for being in the outdoors, and thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen. I'll get back in touch with you. We're going to give you more time next time. Is that okay with you?
That'd be fantastic. Love I really it. Appreciate you guys reaching out. That was awesome. No. The whole experience was
all right,
fantastic.
You take care of yourself.
Thank you, Steve.
You bet. Take care, buddy. I'll get back to you, all right?
Well, thank you to our sponsors real quick. Clam Pro Tackle, Devil's Lake Tourism, Operator Coffee, Cats Covers, our buddy Bill Katz, McKay's Dodge, and Power Lodge of the Twin Cities.
Take care. We got to go, but Mark's got something to say.
Get outside and make some memories. Good luck to your hunting.